What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys, Cap.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
They still have burgers at Dairy Queen, don't they?
I think so. The Brazier.
Brazier.
Yeah.
Brazier,
of course.
The Brazier.
I love Dairy Queen.
Those are good burgers, Walter.
Shut the up, Donnie.
Dairy Queen's great.
It's the best.
What do you get there?
Oh, Buster Bar. You got to get the Buster Bar. Peanut Buster Parfait. Ooh.
I'm not a peanut butter guy.
And then the Blizzards.
Oreo Blizzard. Are pretty good.
Cookie dough Blizzard. Can't go wrong there.
Dipped cones.
The dipped cones are the best. Butterscotch dipped cone. Really
butterscotch.
You don't like butterscotch?
No.
Oh my goodness.
No, no. Dip it in the hard chocolate or the cherry.
Everybody drives up the Dairy Queen or gets out of the car, goes to the counter. They're 12 again.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It's the greatest.
It is.
Do you have one near where you
yes.
live?
Yes.
Yeah, we have
and
one.
They're open all year round.
We have two actually near us. And one of my kids, I said, hey, there's a frozen yogurt place right there, Swirl Cup. He's like, yeah, it's good, but let's go get Dairy Queen.
Word, Dairy Queen Super Office.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Bolchek stole it, scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Good morning, Chicago. Welcome into Cap and Haw, Comcast Sportsnet, WGN Plus. Alongside lead columnist for the Chicago Tribune, he's David Haw. I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson, who stayed up to the bitter end, was in here, I don't know, like 5 a.m. getting everything ready. He's our great executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer, who stayed to the bitter end at the United Center. We were both there. You were there. And Pat Costell, who wimped out and went to sleep, is our great director.
Morning, Cap.
Morning, buddy. How
yeah,
are
that's
you?
Okay. Pat's entitled. I
Pat's
think people,
like the youngest guy here, and he went to sleep.
That's all right. A lot of people did. I understand. It's the middle of the night.
So I hassled a family of four or five. They got up. I don't sit once regulation ends, not even between periods. So I'm standing in the entrance to my section, 212. And this family gets up at the end of the first overtime. We have to leave. And they're cutting in front of me. And I go, where are you going?
Don't do that.
And
don't be
said,
that guy.
The lady goes, I have to work tomorrow. I said, and I don't? No one else in here does? Sit back down.
Yeah,
and the husband goes, she wants to leave. We got to go.
Well, they'll be sorry they missed it because it was quite a finish. It was worth everybody staying. And a lot of people did, Cap. At 1:17 this morning, just a few hours ago, Brent Seabrook, Mr. Overtime, finished it for the Blackhawks.
And he did it against Detroit in the game
Absolutely.
Seven.
He's done it other times. He is Mr. Overtime, and he made good use of a great Patrick Kane setup, and he buried it, and he beat Pekarinen, who was very good in the extra sessions. He was very good last night. But he
was magnificent.
Who was the better goaltender? It was hard to tell, and I think that says a lot about why the Blackhawks are up 3-1 right now in this series. Scott Darling was, again, magnificent. This is a guy who was the number one star of the game, and time and time and time again, I don't think he was as spectacular as he was in game one, but boy, he made some timely saves that made you wonder, is this guy really a rookie, and what took him so long to get here?
He was unbelievable.
What a
wow.
game. What a moment. What a memory. Because here you are in the third overtime, in the 101st minute. You're thinking, how long is this going to go? It's amazing how things change, your perspective changes. And I'm not looking at it from a fan perspective. I'm just looking at it as let's get this over with and what's going to happen. But you're sitting there, how long is this going to go? Then everything happens, and it is a great story. And it is something that you're glad that you were there. You're glad that you stayed. Blackhawks in very much in command of this series. So much to remember about last night. So much to talk about. Looking forward to getting Eddie Olczyk in the studio at 10:25 because he was on his game along with Pat Foley. They did not show any signs that it was a 4.5-hour game. From the time they dropped the puck at 8:45, thank you, Gary Bettman, for nothing, to the time that Brent Seabrook buried the game winner at 1:17. I don't know that there was going to be math involved, but I think that's 4 hours and 32 minutes, roughly.
Okay, now everybody's firing on Gary Bettman. It's called TV. TV rules the roost. They had the Islanders-Capitals game first. They want to get as many eyes as they can. This isn't the NFL where everybody's going to watch anyway. They're trying to build their product. I understand people think it's late. It is what it is,
it's
man.
It's bad for the game. because you have you eliminate an entire group of fans who can't watch. Like you, if you have a seventh grader, you're. I mean, really, maybe it's fun to tell kids at school you stayed up till 1:15, but it's not very responsible to let your teenager stay up to watch game four of a playoff series.
Okay, guy behind us.
Yeah.
He bought two tickets on
NHL. I'm not judging. I am not. Look,
his 11-year-old was sitting there, and the father's like, I looked at him, his eyes are starting to close, and the kid goes, Dad, don't fall asleep. We're not leaving. The 11-year-old stayed right to the end.
That's great, Cap. And I don't want to come off that. I don't want to judge. I think it's great if you can have a memory, if you enjoyed it, if you're able to do that. I'm just saying that for the league to put families and kids in that situation, to me, I think there's got to be a better way. And I don't think it has to be as consistent because here we are Thursday night. That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow. They're going to do it again. The same late puck drop. And it was funny because after the game and here the coaches and the players come rolling into the interview room and it's about 1:30 in the morning. And Peter Laviolette is up there and he's like, you know, being very, you know, stoic coach-like, coach speak, trying to gather himself, saying, you know, we realize the sun's going to come up tomorrow. I felt like saying, hey, coach, sun's going to come up in a couple hours, okay? And you just lost a 4.5-hour game. So I know what you're saying, and the spirit of it is great, but this one's going to sting a little bit. And it's almost morning. It's already morning. It's Wednesday. And when this game started, it was Tuesday. And Marian Hossa wasn't, like, didn't have his AARP card yet. That was a long game.
That was awesome.
And it's going to be difficult for the Preds to recover from that one.
It was funny. Did they serve food in the press box between, like, during the overtime?
Well, here's the thing, Cap. Yes. I mean, they're in the press box. They do in the intermissions. In the overtime, the dynamics, not to bore you with how the sausage is made, but we go down to the press room before the end of the game. So I watched the overtime in the press room.
Downstairs?
Yes.
All three overtimes?
Yeah, because you don't go up and back. You get caught in the elevator, and all of a sudden, oh, I missed it. You can't do that. So you have to pick a lane. And you don't want to stay up in the top till the end because then, boom, Seabrook scores. The Hawks open the room, as you would imagine, very quickly. You get stuck in the elevator. You miss
You're screwed.
Crucial interview time. So you have to stay stationary, and we're in the press room. So we're in the press room for every minute of overtime.
So did they feed you down there?
Oh, they have. No, they don't feed. No, the answer is no.
So I go
drinks, refreshments.
That's it. It's like popcorn or something.
I don't even know if there was any popcorn.
So the concession stand stayed open. Couldn't get any more beer. I wasn't drinking beer anyway. But I'm at the concession stand. I'm like, yeah, can I get some hot tea? Because I was cold. And
you want to stay awake too,
right? And I brought my little protein bar.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I bring out two cups of tea, give one to my wife, one to me. And while I'm standing at the concession stand, this guy walks up and he's like, God, I don't eat unhealthy. Give me a Haagen-Dazs bar and a thing of dibs, those ice cream things.
Yeah.
And his two buddies are with him. The one guy you could tell is in just phenomenal shape. He's like, dude, it's like 12:30. I can't be eating dibs. Ah, screw it. Give me dibs and a Haagen-Dazs too. And their buddy behind him who's with him, he doesn't work out. He's a big boy. And he's like, I've been trying to be so good on a diet. Ah, screw it. Give me the same thing.
Needed the energy boost.
And so they're eating dibs and a Haagen-Dazs bar, standing there just because
they needed
the
jolt, right? They needed something.
They needed a
jolt. I don't drink Coke. I don't drink
I don't drink pop either.
But last night I did because I was just like, come on. I didn't want to have coffee. And you need a little bit of a sugar high. You need a little bit of a boost. What a game, though. And I think when you look at all that transpired and all the decisions, and how about Joel Quenneville for the second game in a row? A guy that he inserts into the lineup after he sits him for the first two games of the series comes through. And Antoine Vermette was very important in last night's game. You saw him score a goal. You saw him be very good with faceoffs. You saw the reason they acquired him at the trade deadline. And they gave up so much to get Antoine Vermette. He looked comfortable. He looked like he had not lost confidence. And he was a factor.
All right. We got a jam-packed show for you. Assuming that he's awake. Hold on.
Eddie's awake. Eddie's going to be here. And we got Eddie at 10:25. We got Gonzo.
Eddie's an older fella now. He might need his rest.
No, he's looking good. He was spry last night. He was on his game.
He was spry. He was very much on it. Eddie's just a rock star.
Gonzo from Pittsburgh, Cap, at 9:55, talking about that Cubs rally. How about that?
That was awesome. Edzo in studio. That's Whack Bro at 11:25. And I'll just start it.
Yes.
Letting your prize prospect come in for his first ever appearance with men on first and third, that's whack, bro. That was the Robin, hey, man, that was not a good baseball decision.
Why?
You don't put Carlos Rodon.
Why? You training wheels? You need to be very careful? This is your number one prospect.
And you don't stick his first appearance where his adrenaline's out of control into a game when it's first and third. You put him into a clean inning. That was dumb.
Well, I don't necessarily disagree totally, but I'm not as vehemently against it. I think that you just gotta throw him in the deep end.
And the Bear schedule's out.
Oh, I noticed. Oh, that's right. It's like 10 minutes
and
in.
That's 11 amazing.
Minutes. We haven't even mentioned it yet.
David Haw is me. Oh, it was precious reading the paper morning.
How am I you?
We'll tell you.
How about this? But page 9 in the sports section, you can see how all of the April Fools. It says April Fool's Day. They're calling us fools.
Yeah.
My own paper.
That's it.
All right. Well, maybe we are. But we have our game-by-game predictions. Love it.
We'll get to it. Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV Adapt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come in to app today, see the complete selection of Samsung electronics, or call them at 847-544-2228. 847-544-2228. I saw Steve Shapiro at the game last night, all decked out in Hawks gear. For complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience, shop where we shop. It's apt, ABT, and ask for that guy, Steve Shapiro. He's a Hawk fan like you. Pleasing people since 1936 is apt. Hey, special CSN Chicago viewing party presented by Coors Light tomorrow at Joe's on Weed. Sports Talk Live will be live at 5, then stay to watch CSN all night long with Bulls Bucks Game 3 at 6:30, Sox KC at 7, Hawks Preds Game 5 is at 8, Sox Cleveland today 12:30. We'll take a timeout. We'll come right back. Haw became me. We'll tell you how. Be right back.
It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
Patrick Kane goes back to Seabrook. Let's go!
Pat Foley and a great Eddie Olczyk will be in our studio later at 10:25. That's Pat's call as Blackhawks beat Nashville 3-2 in overtime, the third overtime, to take a decisive, a tight grip 3-1 series
lead. It's a tight grip. It's a grasp.
It's a grasp.
It's a firm grasp.
Firm grasp. Cap and Hawk continues on WGN Plus at Comcast Sportsnet, and that highlight courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet.
Pat pointed out the Brian Bickle presence in front of the net on the game-winning goal, and I think what you saw last night was more of what we have come to expect from Brian Bickle in the postseason. He's that big body guy. He had some real big hits that made an impact, Cap, and I think that you noticed him more. And what was he doing by the
game-winning goal?
The
screen.
Well, that too, but where was he skating? He was skating on that second line.
He was.
Instead of who?
They got rid
not Richie.
Move Versteeg.
Versteeg. And I think that's the move moving forward that you could see. I think Brad Richards wasn't, I think in the words of Q, he was okay. I don't think he was bad. I don't think he was great. I don't think he was bad enough to be replaced. But I think that you can make a move now. You have some reasons to look at moving Versteeg down either to the fourth line or moving him to the healthy scratch list and maybe making Tavo active somehow. That's a possibility. I asked Joe Quenneville after the game earlier this morning, about 8 hours ago, I think, or 7.5 hours ago, if he would factor in fatigue, the unusual circumstances of this game when making any personnel decisions, because I think that, you know, it's not unheard of that you would have guys that are going to be a little bit heavy-legged tomorrow.
Oh.
And he didn't tip his hand at all. Didn't dismiss the idea either. Would he have any consideration, You've got a fresh Corey Crawford. I'm just asking this because I've been asked this. I know my answer, but you have a fresh Corey Crawford. You have Scott Darling, who has now played overtime hockey two of the three games that he's been involved in. Stopped 50 shots last night. 50 out of 52 was really spectacular at times. Would you think of resting him because he won't be as fresh as he would be had he had ordinary circumstances?
No. Only way I do is I go up to him and I go sit him in my office. I go, look, I need you to be honest with me. You know you've got a special place in my heart. You know I'm the guy that's giving you your opportunity. This is about us trying to close this thing out. Do you feel like, man, I'm exhausted, but I'll fight through it?
You feel compromised.
Or I'm good.
Right.
If you tell me you're good, you're starting. If not, you're not losing an opportunity here, but I'll play Corey tomorrow night.
Something tells me Joe Quenneville's not going to have that heartfelt discussion. This is a guy in Q, and I'm not second-guessing him, but when Corey Crawford was demoted, the goalie coach told him. Q's not having these heart-to-hearts.
He's not.
I love the role-playing, and I think that you're right. You would want Scott Darling to be honest about that. But I'll say this, Cap. After that game, 101 minutes of hockey, stopping 50 shots in the dressing room, Scott Darling is standing there in the corner at 1:30 in the morning, answering questions from everybody, just standing there looking as fresh as a daisy. And he didn't even sound tired. He didn't look tired. He was like, yeah, this was a great hockey game. I was great. I can't believe people stayed this late. It was terrific. I can't believe. He was enjoying every single moment of it. And I was struck by just how
calm.
Well, calm, and he didn't seem like a guy that was emotionally spent, physically spent, or mentally drained. And he had to be. On the other side of the locker room, there's Brent Seabrook, who looked like he had just been through the ringer. And, you know, these defensemen, they have it tough too. And Brent Seabrook said that after he scored the goal. Do we have that at all, Mike? He said after he scored the goal that he didn't know if his teammates were happy he scored it or just happy the game was over.
That's pretty good. It was, and you know what, to me, and I've said this, I think, to Mike, I don't know if I said this to you, one of my favorite things in all the sports, and it could be in any city, for me it's my city here where I grew up, is if I ever write a book, I want to title it We Rise as One, because when you see a goal,
yeah,
everybody rises. You see, you know, Alshon Jeffrey catch a touchdown in the back corner of the end zone, stadium erupts. You see a shot of when Sammy was at the plate. As soon as he hit it and you knew it was gone.
He's Chris Bryant.
You see the guys.
He's a modern day.
Okay, you see Chris Bryant. You see everybody with their hands in the air.
There you go.
Say, you know, Jose Abreu, whatever it is.
Mark Burley's perfect game. The Dwayne
the last
Wise
out.
Out.
Everyone rises
rise
as one.
Rise as one.
It's
a great idea for a coffee table book.
There you go. We rise as one.
Can you imagine the photography in that would be outstanding?
Sick.
You know somebody in Chicago sports photography, there's some great sports photographers in the city.
Bill Smith.
You know that somebody
Phil
has
Velasquez.
Shots like that.
Yeah.
You need to get on that. Coffee table book.
There you go.
We rise as one.
And you have a shot of, you know, Bobby Hall and there's people there.
And you have somebody who was at each of the events write the narrative of what they remember about that event.
Like if it's a Brent Seabrook goal, you have Brent Seabrook, right?
Oh, you could do that. There you go.
I remember
I'm
how
here for you.
We did this. Yeah.
I want to cut, though. Now that was my idea. You go running with it. I want to cut.
There you go. I'll give you a cut. I'll
so,
buy you lunch.
So the next move is to for the Hawks to put this behind them because they can do that. They've been through this. Did you see the stat? Joe Quenneville teams with the Blackhawks since he arrived.
Mm-hmm.
20-12 in playoff overtime games. Can that be right?
20-12, that's correct.
There have been 32 playoff overtime games.
It's crazy.
And they have won 20 of them.
Now, how about this stat? 276 times in the history of the NHL playoffs, a team has taken a 3-1 lead. 276 times.
Okay, that's 276.
Okay. Only how many times has a team come back to win the series?
Oh, well, it's just happened a couple times. I would say... Let's see, 10% would be 27. I would say 25 times.
27.
Is it?
Okay. 27 times, and you have the Blackhawks did it to the Red Wings in 13.
Yeah.
You had the Kings do it, I think, 3 times last year.
Didn't they? The Kings did that in every series. Yes.
Did they do it?
Not in the Hawks series,
okay,
though.
Okay, so they did it twice.
They did it twice. I don't think the Hawks were up 3-1.
Okay, so they did it twice.
Yeah. They're tough.
So three in the last eliminate. 2 years at least.
If you're Joe Quenneville, that is history lesson number one. If you need to give history lessons anymore, I think this is a very veteran savvy team. But I would remind them that the Nashville Predators are not left for dead, because they are feeling exactly the way the Blackhawks felt 2 years ago against the Red Wings. Demoralized, nothing's going right, injured, and you feel like nothing's going to happen to get you a series victory. And yet the Hawks beat the Red Wings, and the Predators cannot be counted out. They are going to be – last night, Joe Quenneville going into that game said that was going to be the toughest game they played all year. Thursday, it goes up a notch, because there's nothing more
dangerous than a wounded animal.
Yes, than a desperate hockey team.
A wounded snake, a predator.
A predator, a wounded predator.
There you go. 9 a.m. hour of this show, sponsored by Apt Electronics in Glenview, ABTApp.com, their website. Check them out. Hey, tomorrow you've got special CSN Chicago viewing party presented by Coors Light. Tomorrow at Joe's on Weed. I'll be out there. Sports Talk Live will be live at 5. Stay to watch CSN all night long. Bulls-Bucks Game 3 at 6:30. Sox-KC at 7. Hawks-Preds Game 5 at 8. We'll have Cubs during the day. First time in the history of the channel.
Yeah.
We'll have all four teams that are still playing. The Bears obviously not playing. All on our air. All on the same day.
And probably going to leak into Friday.
And by the way,
I'm just guessing here.
Do you know
that game's going to be a Friday morning telecast as well?
Do you know that I believe it was 17 straight hours. 17 straight hours, starting with you and I, all the way through 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. CSN, number one station in the market, 18 to
17
49
straight hours? That sounds like a telethon.
It's crazy. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Got a great sports town, the best city in the world. 312-235-2525. This is Cap and Haw. This is WGN Plus, and you're watching live on your home for TV sports in Chicago. It's Comcast Sports Net.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
The number one star of the game from the Blackhawks, number 33, Scott Garland.
Thank you guys for sticking with us and staying up with us tonight.
Physically, how do you feel after three overtimes?
I can't wait to get to bed, but, you know, you got your adrenaline going during it, and, you know, it was a war, and great job by Biscuit to get the goal, and it's a great feeling.
That's Luke Stuckmeyer, our guy on CSN with Scott Darling, yeah. The game's number one star.
It was a good shot by Biscuit.
That was awesome.
That's a Brent Seabrook.
There you go. Cap and Hawk continuing here. Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
Did you know they called him Biscuit?
I did not.
I didn't either. I think that
I just thought the one I always knew was Siebes.
Biscuit. And that shot was a laser, like he had an extra biscuit for breakfast.
That was awesome.
That was pretty good.
That was awesome. To see that puck smash into the back of the netting. And everyone just go nuts.
How many times, though, when the overtimes capped, did you watch? And as you were standing up and I was watching, and everyone watching. By the way, where were you at 1:17 a.m.? Were you out, people out there, were you watching? Were you at the game? Did you stay up? Did you fall asleep? Were you nodding off? Where were you at 1:17 a.m. when Brent Seabrook ended the suspense? But how many times up until that point, Cap, did you think that it was over? You thought, okay, there was... Oh, what a save.
You know what the biggest one was?
What?
Where I got really scared? The play where Oduya dove second overtime.
Yes.
At the opposite end of the ice from where I sit. And he dove and knocked the puck almost to the corner. And I went, that was a magnificent effort.
That could have been the game right there.
Yeah.
He made just a great – he sacrificed his body, and he just got his stick right on the puck, knocked it away.
It's so exhilarating when your team wins a game like that, because I was there, like many of you, for Game 7 last spring when L.A. won.
Mm-hmm.
That is such a spear right in the gut. Ugh! You're like,
well, that ended the season and the series.
Yeah.
So that was it's different in the regular season when you lose an overtime game because there's so many more to come. And even if it's the middle of a series, you feel like you have
But it brought me back to when I was coaching. You would win a buzzer-beating game, and it was like the greatest drug you could ever take. You get beat on a buzzer shot. It's the you put so much into it. It's the worst feeling. You'd rather get beat 28-0.
Hey, where were you when they were doing the search of Pekka-Rinne?
Right behind him,
looking the puck that was
right
hidden
at the end.
Uh huh. And how amusing was that? I guess it's amusing now. It was a little bit like, come on, are you serious? You can't find the puck? You didn't have the benefit of hearing Eddie on TV. Eddie was comparing, I can't wait till he gets here because it was funny. He's saying, oh, this looks like the TSA at O'Hare.
That's funny.
And then he said, he got all alliterative. He said, Pekka had a puck in his pocket.
Right. Mully was talking about that this morning.
Pekka had a puck in the pocket.
It's pretty good.
It was funny, but it went on too long. I mean, that took a long time. And the linesman was Steve Miller. Remember him?
Yeah, he's the guy that stole the puck. As in his
I
house,
thought maybe
I'm
he
sure.
stole that puck. Did anyone check him?
Yeah.
Maybe he got away with that one.
Yeah, Luke Stuckmeyer tweeted, Pekka-Rinne, he's finding stuff in his pockets. Oh, there's a Malnati's gift card from the Capman. Pretty funny.
Luke did a nice job to the bitter end and getting Scott Darling. And as you heard there, Scott Darling could not have been more thrilled just to be part of something like that.
Amazing. So 312-235-2525. We'll grab these calls in a second. Also, Cubs with a dramatic comeback. 1 in the 8th, 2-3 in the 9th, and they beat the Pirates 9-8.
Starlin Castro, big guy.
Big night.
Yeah, big night.
Chris Bryant, big night.
He's only hitting .444.
Correct.
His first week as a major league hitter.
Tom Cooper came up with a stat yesterday. We ran it as our stat of the day on Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. And the stat was, through four games, small sample size, through four games, Chris Bryant has the highest on-base percentage since 1901.
Ha!
Since 1901.
Who looked that up?
I think Coop did.
Four games? Four games of any major league hitter?
Highest,
he got the highest on-base percentage.
Since 1901.
Well, I think that that's pretty impressive. Who would have thought that Edwin Jackson would have a victory this season before
John
Lester?
How about that? I saw that on Twitter. Somebody tweeted that. 312-235-2525. Also, we'll get to all these calls. They're jamming. The White Sox lose. Robin, what the hell are you putting Carlos Rodon for in a first and third situation? Give him a clean inning, man. Come on. He's smarter than that. And the Bears schedule is out.
They did John Fox no favors.
And you channeled me.
I don't know that I channeled you. I think that
I was the one that said probably 6-10. Wouldn't be shocked if it's worse. I pick up my Tribune this morning, and there's young David Haw has the Bears 6-10.
If you would like to take credit for that and controlling my innermost football thoughts, then by all means, boost your confidence and do so.
Thank you.
I don't think that I was channeling my inner Catman, though, when I was going through the schedule. Really, Cap, I do think the Bears have an opportunity to be respectable. I will maintain that because the coaching staff is a professional coaching staff. But what persuaded me to go all negative here and go 6-10 and looking at it's not who you play, it's when you play who you play. And the Bears are going to be barely out of the gate, all excited about leaving Bourbonnais. Hello, Aaron Rodgers. Welcome to our season. We're going to open – here's the new coach, and he's going to feel same as the old coach.
Right.
Frustrated watching you throw touchdown passes and then over his secondary.
Get done with that and go, here comes Arizona, thinks they're going to take the next step. They may get Adrian Peterson.
Bruce Arians, maybe Adrian Peterson.
And then that game ends, and you go, boys, get on the plane. We're going to Seattle.
There's not enough coffee in Seattle to wake yourself up and to be alert enough to win that game. So you're 0-3. You're 0-3, and thankfully, mercifully, they schedule the Raiders in the four hole. You win that game.
Wow.
But it doesn't get any easier. Playoff caliber teams and the Chiefs and the Lions await you in their own building.
We'll go through this later after Eddie leaves.
So I'm looking at 6-10, Cap, because I think that had the Bears been able to stack victories at the beginning, maybe you feel differently at some of these games on the fence.
What was Fred drinking before he put his predictions together?
What's Fred got?
9-7.
Okay. Someone's got to be the somebody has to be that guy. Somebody
put
has
the bong down, Fred.
Well, hey, your guy Biggs.
What if Fred Matt become Bowen? Rosenblum?
Did he predict this year?
No, he didn't. You guys have kind of ixnayed him off that.
So Biggs has 8-8. Matt Bowen has 8-8. Rich Campbell and I have the glass half empty at 6-10. And Weeds and Mully are at 7-9.
Yeah. You know, we've not even been on the grass yet.
I know. Good point, Foxy.
You got it, Foxy.
I can't wait. My favorite game I'm looking forward to the most, November 22nd, when Peyton Manning comes in town. It's not often you get to see a Hall of Fame quarterback at Soldier Field. Certainly not in a Bears uniform. But Peyton Manning and the Broncos on the revenge tour, the John Fox revenge tour. And you know what the best part about the schedule was? It doesn't have anything to do with the competitive balance and what their record's going to be. You know what the best part is, Cap? From a very selfish standpoint, there's only 2 night games.
I know.
A lot of noon starts.
Phenomenal.
I'm loving that. Although, I have to be honest, as lovely as Wisconsin can be in November, as great as the great city of Green Bay can be, as welcoming, I have no interest in spending Thanksgiving in Green Bay.
Hello, George McCaskey's office. Yes, this is Roger Goodell. No, would you just give George a message? You guys sucked last year, so you're going to play a lot of noon games.
Well, that's one thing. But the Thanksgiving thing, come on. 2 years in a row. 2 years in a row. Thanksgiving night. You put cheddar, melted cheddar on turkey. Does that go?
I don't know.
I'm just not looking forward to that trip. Thanksgiving night in Green Bay.
I am going to be like so wasted on tryptophan from all the food and the turkey. And I'm going to be stretched out in my family room on the big screen. It's going to be the Bears.
The only good thing about
awesome.
That, the only good thing about that, Cap, is that on Friday morning, when you wake up after the Bears get beat 35-13, you can go shopping and you can scream at whoever you want in your rant. And it won't be me because I don't think we'll be doing the show on that Friday morning. You can get it all out of your system as some poor clerk at Macy's or Nordstrom's or wherever and take out all your frustrations on Black Friday.
That's it. Midnight shopping.
There you go. You're leaving your house at midnight.
K-Men's, they open up the stores at midnight, and you're in there spending money going, I'm just ticked at the Bears.
Can you believe Cutler? Can you believe he threw that pass? He is not a franchise quarterback. Give me another pair of socks, please. Yeah. He is not a franchise quarterback.
I'll take that sweater. By the way, Luke.
He's the guy that calls the plays.
Where'd we get that one?
Yeah, where'd you get that
one? No, anyway, it wasn't that hard to find.
That was me screaming at Potash and Johns.
Okay.
Luke,
I think this team in this locker room is in a good place at this time.
Oh, boy.
Check the tape there, Mark. Luke Stuckmeyer tweeting from Midway Airport. He is watching us at Harry Carey's at Midway right now.
Luke?
Luke.
Not much sleep for Luke either.
No.
Back at the airport, back in the grind.
And Greg Rothacker on Twitter says, if you guys make that coffee table book, I will absolutely buy it.
See, I'm telling you, it's there. It's there for the taking.
There you go.
We got to get to some of these calls.
All right, 312-235-2525. 312-235-2525. Also later in the show, Nick Saban whining like a little child. We'll get to that as well. So he needs to just
I did not see what Nick Saban had to say.
Quiet his mouth down.
I would think that it probably – I heard him say last – although – yeah, don't go ripping Nick Saban. Last week he was sounding a lot like you and talking about how soft players had become.
They have.
And, well, see, you're agreeing with the guy. You just ripped him. Which is it?
What he's opining on right now, he just doesn't want anybody infringing on his little dynasty that he's got.
He's got a dynasty going, though, Cap.
He does, no question.
Blame him.
He just needs to quiet his mouth. Not a fan. He's got jerk face. Between this show, Sports Talk Live, Cubs pre and post tonight on CSN, I'm working a lot. For the few hours I have, it's important for me to get deep, restful sleep. I got 2.5 last night. I feel good. You know why? Because I sleep on a MyPillow. First night you sleep on one, you'll understand why I'm telling you they've sold over 5 million. It's this three-piece interlocking fill that conforms to your preferred shape. They come in 4 different support levels, and they guarantee you the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. MyPillow has this cooling effect, keeps your head cool throughout the night. Even when my dog Yoshi is snuggled right up next to me, my head stays nice and cool on the pillow. MyPillow, so confident you'll love them, they'll give you a 60-day money-back guarantee. They'll refund 100% of your purchase price. But trust me, you're going to love your new MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code CAP, K-A-P, 50% off the pillow. Trust me, my friends go, is it really that good? Yes, my wife bought them before they were ever an advertiser. Call them up, 800-299-5854, 800-299-5854, MyPillow.com, or call 800-299-5854. Punch in that promo code right now, KAP. Get 50% off MyPillow. You will love me for putting you on to MyPillow. We'll be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN+.
Second multiple overtime game for you guys. How do you beat not being exhausted? I mean, fans are exhausted watching.
I don't know. It's tough. I think we have a great training staff. Mike Yapsky, JT, you know, everybody down the line, Jimmy and Parchi and you know, I can't list them all right now, but they're all doing a great job of keeping oranges cut. Pasha, he's the orange cutter, so I got to get his name in there.
The orange cutter, getting a shout out.
Hi, nice to meet you. Nice to meet you. So what do you do? I'm the orange cutter.
Eddie told us that they ate pizza. Not last night. I don't know what they ate last night.
He said in the old days.
They would eat pizza.
Yeah. And that was Brent Seabrook, by the way, talking about what sustained him enough to get the game-winning goal.
There you go.
And how he was so – well, I tried to name everybody that was involved.
They had to have had more than orange slices.
I would think so. 4.5 hours, Cap.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
And I wonder if they ate pizza. I'd love to know if they had IVs. I'd love to know that.
It's a good story.
Because I watched Johnny Oduya – make a play and then like look like he was cramping a little bit and he was yelling, "Get me off the ice," and he went off and then came.
Hey, who made all the pepperoni?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, guys. Come I need my pepperoni. 312-235-2525 is our phone number. Let's get to some calls before we talk to Mark Gonzalez about that great Cubs comeback last night. And
let's go to Freddie and Elgin, who's been on hold for a while.
All right, Freddie and Elgin will start it first. Hey Freddie, what's going on there, dog?
Hey Freddie. Morning, Freddie.
Freddie.
Turn the TV off.
All right, there you go. Bye,
Freddie. Sorry, Freddie.
Ben in Chicago.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, Ben.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's going on there, pal?
Not much. I was watching the Blackhawks at 117, and I woke up, and I'm cheering, and I realize it's the replay. I fell asleep watching the live game. My fiance is like, "What are you yelling about?" I wake her up. She's getting mad at me because she's all waking up out of a daze. And I'm like, "They won." She's like, "It's a replay, stupid."
That's funny.
That is funny.
That is funny.
Well, it's tough. It's tough to stay up that late.
Phenomenal game.
It was. I think
it felt like I felt like I was getting tunnel vision towards the end of the game. I'm like, let's, you know, just cheering it 1 second. Then I'm like dozing off at the other second. And I'm like, at the third intermission, I'm like, come on, just can we please get it over with? You know, that stat you gave earlier about how many wins was it? The 32?
20 and 12 in overtime.
That's amazing.
That is pretty
amazing.
Good.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks,
appreciate
Ben. See you, bud. 312-235-2525. Paul is in Michigan.
Morning, Paul.
And he joins us now. Hey, Paul, what's going on there, Sparky?
I'm from the Detroit area. And I agree that they should start the games about 7:30 your time, 8:30 our time. They have one station always free, and they don't televise the games on that station. Why can't they televise them on that station?
Are you talking about CSN Chicago? It was on CSN Chicago last night.
I know, but I'm talking about the NBC station.
Oh, NBC
The USA
Sports.
Station is free all the time. Why can't they televise it on the USA station at 8:30 our time?
Well, Paul, thanks for the phone call. Look, I have a right, like everybody else, to complain about what we don't like about the late start times.
Right.
But I do understand it, as you point out. It's a television, it's a revenue decision.
Right.
The league is trying to grow itself, grow interest, to grow revenue, all those things. But I don't have to like it.
Don't forget that, yes, the NBC Sports Network will be picking it up in round two and on. CSN's done at the end of the first round. In both NBA and NHL, This is a huge revenue driver for the regional sports network for CSN. They'll continue doing pre and post with Pat Boyle and his guys, but
give it some local.
That's
flavor.
Why they did not put it for example, it's not pushed to the CNBC or wherever. It was on CSN Chicago last night because it's a revenue driver for them.
Absolutely.
All right, 312.
There's money to be made.
Yep, 312-235-2525. And Freddie in Elgin, he was the guy who didn't hear us. Hey, Freddie,
hey,
what's going on there, Sparkles?
Guys, how you guys doing
good.
This morning?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, can I, before I give you my question, can I just say this, man? Quite honestly, this is exactly what makes this the best sports city in the world. The fact that we've got doctors and plumbers and sportscasters in the same sports arena that got to do the blue-collar thing the next day. Guys, it makes this so much sweeter, guys, and I got to thank you guys for that.
It's the greatest, isn't it? You grew up here?
I did. But I can't take too much credit because I got the day off.
So. Oh, that's pretty nice.
So what's the point? What's the question, Freddie?
Yeah.
Look, saying this respectfully, guys, you know, I'm not trying to get ahead of myself. But quite honestly, we still haven't seen the best hockey from these guys, which is so scary, you know. We're still looking at the blessings from Keener's injuries, which is coming together. It was inevitable that was going to happen. But, I mean, we see Desjardins, you know, have those two ace shots, and he's being a threat now. We've got Vermette, who's gotten quite comfortable now, and outside of the trade, we got Bickle, who's just dropping bombs like Tyson on the boards. He's just hitting cats. The only negative aspect I see is maybe Timo needing a little bit of help on his defense. But, I mean, with a guy with his age and everything like that, he's just playing with
heart. Wasn't on the ice that much except maybe in the final in the second overtime. I mean, his time was limited, Freddie. Those are good observations.
Appreciate it, Freddie. Have a good day. Enjoy your day off, buddy.
You know what, though, Cap? He's right. The Hawks probably haven't, you know, scratched the surface or come close to playing as well as they could, but they are getting contributions from the second tier, the secondary scorers, the Vermettes of the world. You know, Brandon Saad is probably one of the first-tier guys, but he scored last night a key goal. That was a great goal. They're not going into overtime without him tying the game. But the depth has really been the takeaway from this series. They haven't had the stars necessarily have to be great and to carry them.
They got four lines rolling.
Yes.
And the goal that Saad got to tie the game was the same exact play they ran the other day when Hossa dropped it for Taves.
Yeah.
And they ran it again, and I think it was Desjardins, but I might be wrong. But Hossa did another drop pass, and they just missed another goal.
Yeah, this time when Saad buried it was Mini Hossa, or it was Hossa to Mini Hossa, or to future Hossa.
It was,
because that's a guy that is compared to Hossa a lot. And Saad is all over the place, and he's been very impactful in this series, as you would expect. But the Hawks are always going to leave you feeling like they can do more because they have so much. They have so much talent and depth. That's why when you look at it objectively, you think that's the reason people are picking them to win the West.
All right, 312-235-2525. Four NHL games tonight. Four of them. Should be a great viewing night. You got NBA playoffs. Got Sox today against the Indians. Cubs Pirates tonight. Holly and I'll have the postgame show. Yeah.
And Cap, just a little clarification. I was asked, did you know Brent Seabrook was called Biscuit?
Yeah.
A couple of people on Twitter saying, well, come on, Seabiscuit.
Very good. There you go.
Get it now?
Yeah.
I get it now.
All right, Mark Gonzalez joins us in about 3 or 4 minutes. Eddie Olchek in our studio, 1025. That's whack, bro. And I got a prize for us, a new addition to the giveaway. If you pick your That's Whack, Bro, we have 3 Malnati's to give away.
Okay.
I also have 3 $50 gift cards to Apt.
Wow.
How about that?
That's a pretty – we're not going to give them all away today.
I've got a slew of them.
All right.
Steve Shapiro hooked us up.
Well, then so people better bring it then.
We got 3 for today.
$11.25.
So you'll go get a pizza, stop, and maybe buy some headphones or something cool, TV at Apt, and get $50 off.
Okay, $50 off.
There you go. So there you have it. Again, Mark Gonzalez, Eddie Olchek, That's Whack, Bro, and a special CSN Chicago viewing party presented by Coors Light tomorrow at Joe's on Weed. Sports Talk Live at 5. Stay to watch CSN all night long with Bulls Bucks Game 3 at 6:30. Sox KC at 7. Hawks Preds Game 5 is at 8. Sox Cleveland today at 12:30. That's all coming up. Also, go to the website, csnchicago.com. TK Gore and his crew just killing it with content. We'll be right back.